Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Gospel of Matthew. Watch as Matthew, a one-time hated tax collector who is consumed with living just for the moment, is transformed into a powerful instrument for God. All because Matthew found Jesus, the one true Messiah of Israel and of the whole world. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Jesus will later say in the Gospel of John, "I am that ladder. I am the way that you'd move from heaven to earth." He wakes up and he goes, "I had no idea God was in this place." We're going to take out the name Luz and we're going to put in the name Bethel, house of God. And then the Bible says he believed God at that point. And if you will, so to speak, that's when Jacob got saved. Now, he zooms into Paddan Aram, and that's where he meets the cutie Rachel, the well. He wants to marry her. Remember the story? And Laban, a better used car salesman than Jacob, says, "Oh, didn't we tell you? You got to work 7 years for the brides around here." So he works 7 years. And then wedding night, coming down the aisles, this beautifully clad, beautiful woman, only she probably had a veil over her face. He's all, "Rachel, woo!" And then you know the story. He wakes up the next morning after consummating the marriage. "Ah, Leah!" Leah's name means squinty-eyed. Could be a play on words. Could mean she's rough on the eyes. She was no looker. He stomps into Laban. "What are you doing? I worked 7 years for Rachel and you give me Leah?" Poor Leah. And Laban, "Didn't we tell you? Oh, we got to marry the oldest before the second." He works 7 more years. They have 12 boys, which become the 12 tribes of Israel. But 20 years later, after all of that water under the bridge, Jacob says, "It's time to go home." But what's the big obstacle in Jacob's mind? "My brother Esau is going to kill me." Do you think 20 years is enough time? Let's find out. Chapter 32, Genesis. Paddan Aram, remember, is not God's promised land. Israel is God's promised land. He's going to come back to the land of promise. Verse 3. So Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. This is modern day Jordan. And some have speculated perhaps even Esau might have been dwelling in what is today known as the rock city of Petra or Basra. An interesting speculation. But verse 4. And he commanded these servants, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now, 20 years. Verse 5, I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." In other words, I'm going to be cruising into town. I don't really need anything from you. I'm not taking anything. Verse 6, and then the messengers returned to Jacob saying, "Well, we saw him. We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you." That's the good news. Comma. "And 400 men are with him." Gulp. Verse 7. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Oh, this isn't going to go well. Then he divided up his people in the interest of time. Look at verse 9. Then Jacob said, "Oh, my God, God of my father Abraham." And I wrote in my Bible, "Good job, Jacob. You're learning." Remember, he's the one that takes everything into his own control. "I'm the captain of my soul, and I'm doing the driving. I know what's going on." Now he realizes he could be potentially facing a force that's much greater than his. And then he prays God's promises, so to speak. Verse 12. "You're the one that said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea." Always a good idea, you guys, to pray God's promises in the Word. Sometimes if you don't know what to pray, break out the Psalms. Break out the Proverbs. Or get one of those wonderful books where various promises of the Word, Old Testament and New Testament, are broken up into categories and topics like worry or fear or whatever it might be, and pray God's Word right back to them. Powerful stuff. You said that I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea. Remember, I'm not supposed to die, right, God? Verse 13, so he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present to Esau, his brother. So he assembles a huge, big gift. Verse number 21 now. So the present, all these oxen and camels and stuff, went on over before him, but he himself, Jacob, lodged that night in the camp. And he arose at night. He's prayed the promises, and he has done what he knows how to do to prepare for this initial meeting. Oh, Lord, I give you this in Jesus' name, amen. I better take that back and worry about that some more. Jacob is just like me. Jacob's journey is my journey. This is not going to work. So he took his two wives and two female servants and his 11 sons, and he crossed over the ford of Yabbok, which is a stream that flows into the Jordan. If you get your Bible maps out, this is the gateway, so to speak, into the Promised Land. Paddan Aram means field. Because in Matthew 13, Jesus looks at the world and he says, the kingdom of God is kind of like a guy who goes into a field and finds a great treasure. Field is always a picture of the world. Jesus' glasses affixed. He's been in the world for 20 years. He's coming right to the Promised Land. But I better hold up here because after all, there's boogadums there across the way. So he stops at the gate, files off his fingernails as he chews them to the quick. Verse 23. So he took them, his wives and kids, sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. A perk up, and may God give us great understanding here. Verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Who broke into Jacob's tent? Right in your margin there, Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, tells us who this is. That the Lord God of hosts, capital L, capital O, R, and D. We know what that means. That's Jehovah God. Wait a minute, Jehovah God's in the tent with poor Jacob? He's going to say here in a minute, I wrestled with God face to face. This is Jesus Christ. Spring, what? He's not even going to be born for another 1,500 years. You're thinking four-dimensionally, height, width, depth, and space-time. You see, where God lives in heaven, he doesn't have a lot of time. There is no time. We've studied in the book of Genesis, if you'd like to run down some of those teachings, we find out that time is also a portion of God's creation. Time itself is a principle of physics. It is affected by mass, velocity, and gravity, if you didn't know. So when Jesus died on the cross, resurrected in his brand new eternal body, hung out for 40 or so days with the boys, and then ascended into heaven, if he's living, as it were, where God is, could he step back into the timeline wherever he wants? Answer? Yeah, I kind of think so. This is Jesus in a pre-incarnate appearance. This is why he sees him face to face. My curiosity is, at this point, did he bear the scars? Don't know. Have to ask Jacob when we get there. But this guy breaks into Jacob's tent and wrestles with him. We know, according to Hosea chapter 12, This is the Most High God. And it's not the Father, so to speak. It is Jesus the Son. Verse 25. Now when he... How many of your H's of he is capitalized? The translators knew. Now when he, capital H, right, Jesus, saw that he, capital H, Jesus, did not prevail against him, little h. That's Jacob. Watch this. Now when Jesus, the star maker, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and not one thing was made that he didn't make, did not prevail against Jacob. Hold on here. Doesn't Jesus have all power? What's the answer? Yes, correct theological response. It didn't say that he couldn't prevail. It said that he did not. What a huge picture. Here's Jesus. He moves from the right hand of the Father, reinserts himself into physics, time, and space, shows up in Jacob's tent, and goes, "Let's go." And they start to wrestle. Verse 25, one more time. When Jesus saw that he did not prevail, Jacob is winning the wrestling match. Jacob's flesh, Jacob's excuses. Every time Jesus tried to make a move, get a hold, maybe even a hug, no! No, no, what? Little karate kid right there. Sorry about that. When the Lord, who had a great purpose and a plan for Jacob, he's at the very gate of the promised land. He can look in and see the activity, but Jacob himself is not partaking. Jesus said, you need a visitation. You need to get arrested. So when Jesus begins to apply whatever direction, there was Jacob fending off every attempt of our Lord. And Jesus left him and said, this guy's hopeless. I'll move on to somebody else. Look what he does. Now when Jesus saw that he did not prevail against Jacob's every attempt to fend him off, he, capital H, Jesus, touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled. How many of you have ever had a dislocation? As you know, your joints are held together by ligaments and muscles and so on. The bigger the joint, the more painful. So in the middle of this wrestling match, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to fight with Jacob's flesh. It's too strong for Jacob. So I'm going to break him. I'm going to touch the socket in his hip. I'm not a doctor, but it seems to me that one of your largest joints that supports your entire body has got to be the hips. Is it the point of the most intensive pain possible? Ow! Said Jacob. Notice the defenses of Jacob now fall because now he is consumed by the searing pain. Watch what happens. Verse 26. And then he, notice it's capital. So who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus said, let me go for day breaks. He's been trying to get a hold of Jacob. Jacob's been fending off every overture, every invitation. Finally, Jesus said, brings the pain, as it were, allows the searing disappointment. Ow! And then he gets up as if to leave. And now Jacob is clutching him. I'm not letting you go. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'll get it. Never mind. Get with you later. No, Lord. No, Lord. I'm not getting anywhere with this beloved son or daughter. I'm going to allow some breaking to take place. Ow! And those of us who know what that's like, that's about the time we grab the hem of his garment. But he, little h, this is Jacob, said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go until you finally give to me what I know that you have for me. You see, pain will do that. When God in His love allows, in some cases, the most difficult pain of your life. It's not to crush you. It sure seems like it at the time. But you've been fending off. Your flesh has been too strong. The only way I'm going to get through this one's defense systems, his excuses, his woulda, shoulda, couldas, her nursing and rehearsing, I'm going to have to allow some pain to touch their lives. They grab the hem of his garment, and then they begin to realize, now I'm not going to let you leave, Lord, until you show me what you came here for. Verse 27. So he, capital H, Jesus, said to him, Jacob, what is your name? Oh, that's huge. Is this Jesus on a fact-finding mission? Gee, I don't know who I've been wrestling with all this time. Because 20 years ago, Jacob arrived in Isaac's chamber. Who are you? What did Jacob say? I'm Esau. This is not Jesus on a fact-finding mission. This is Jesus allowing Jacob to repent. You see, that'll happen when some real pain comes your way. And then you grab the hem of Jesus' garment. Now Jesus says, I perceive that you are teachable. And he says, now what's your name? My name? Supplanter. Car salesman. Doing my own thing. There's now no more excuses. Can you see? There's no more excuses. There's no more stories. There's no more, here's why I get to stay broken. I am Jacob. After that painful admission, watch Jesus, verse 28. And Jesus said, you and I both know who you are. Now that we've got that crucial point established, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. What does Israel mean? Governed by God. Oh, your Jesus glasses on? In Matthew chapter 5, we're at the gateway. We're opening the door to living the kingdom life. It has to begin with, you got to be emptied. No, I don't. I got a suitcase and a resume. I got all kinds of goody goodies that God can use. God can't use any of it if we have our hands stuck to the steering wheel. He could, I suppose, but then you and I would blow up because of our resume, if it's impressive enough, if our suitcase of experience is packed tightly and neatly enough, then if God does use us supernaturally, then we will have a tendency to say, well, of course he did. Look who he was using. Now, Jacob, you and I both know that you are Israel governed by God. For you have struggled with God. Subtlety. Is Jesus God, you guys? Absolutely. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me, what is your name, I pray? And he said, why is it that you ask me about my name? You know who I am. You met me when you left Luz. Remember the ladder? That was me. Every time I've spoken to you, it was me. You knew me. You saw me. You heard me at Bethel. You saw me when I spoke to you in Paddan Aram. And you saw me when I told you that I was going to keep you safe. And unlike you, Jacob, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is your name? You know who I am. Verse 29. And he, Jesus, blessed him, Jacob. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Notice the E-L at the end. You know that in Hebrew that means God. And this place now means face of God. For I have seen God face to face. He did, but it was Jesus Christ. And my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. He limped for the rest of his life, loved one. Well, God, that doesn't seem very fair. Sometimes God is going to touch that thing in you. In Jacob's case, he had a penchant for running away from his responsibilities and running away from God. And every time Jacob limped, it was a reminder of the time he finally got arrested for God. So other people say, what's with the limp? What are you limping for? Isn't that a bit of a dysfunction? Jake will have the opportunity at that moment to say, it's a reminder to stop running from God. Let's all stand, shall we? Matthew 5, the gateway to the kingdom of heaven. I've heard it so often. Hey, Pastor Steve, why don't we see in the church, you know, more Book of Acts type stuff? And I'm afraid to tell them, in a sense, well, if people lived in the kingdom of heaven, we would see more of the kingdom of heaven. Why doesn't God pour it out? Because he's really smart. And if he starts pouring through people that haven't been arrested by Jesus, that's really dangerous. So Lord, I pray for Harvest Family Fellowship, Lord. Before we get into what kingdom stuff looks like, not a ladder to ascend to God's kingdom, but a dipstick to find us where we are. And Lord, that funny little video we saw at the beginning of our message today. Look at that big old tall cowboy. He was convinced. I'm not drunk. I'm in complete control of my facility. Even the officer herself knew, man, that boy can perform under the influence. And Lord, how many of us in this room have been performing under the influence that I'm pulling it off just fine? When come to find out, we are an immediate danger to ourselves, to our relationships, and to the people around us. I pray in Jesus' precious name, everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. Christians praying. This is an important day. The story of Jacob, he got saved at Bethel, but he wasn't subdued. He was still working the knobs and the dials. He was still driving his own life. And I'm doing just fine, thank you. Oh, seriously? Then why are you living outside of the land of promise? I hope you caught it this morning, beloved son and daughter of God. He wants to move hugely and mightily through your life. Are you ready to go from the outside looking in, saved but not subdued, swinging away but not arrested by his great love? And maybe some of you, when he touched the socket of your hip, you screamed, ow! And you thought it was him being punitive or not caring or insensitive. And maybe some of us in this room have set a time or two. Then fine, I don't want to follow you, God. He's not mad at you. He has seen a prodigal a time or two. He's just saying, loved one, when I was trying to hold you, grasp you, lead you, guide you, you kept fending me off like Jacob. And I chose not to fight your flesh anymore. So I touched the socket of your hip. Now can you see the reason for your limp a little? God says, give your life to me, your whole life. Be subdued today. I give you all of my life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Gospel of Matthew with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding that Jesus is the promised Messiah of God. It was that life-changing truth that turned Matthew's life around and restored him to his true calling, from serving self to serving the Savior of the world. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.